So, I saw an article this week entitled, "Are You a Mystic?" I was intrigued, which is silly because if you know me, you know I'm sorely not a mystic. I'm the busy, making myself busy, extrovert, monkey mind, antsy, FOMO woman of the times. But in the therefore appropriate habit of distracting myself, I thought, well, heck, maybe I'm more of a mystic than I thought. I'm taking the quiz. Now, I won't run through the whole thing with you. It's very subjective. But the last two items struck me. One, you believe love is the source of life. Two, you don't know everything. Now we're talking. If these are the criteria, then I'm the veritable Wizard of Oz. Not because I'm me, Nancy, but because I'm a follower of the mystic Jesus Christ. Jesus, who spent 3 years teaching us and showing us using parables so that we would know and understand, and still finding his disciples, us, kind of blockheaded. We surely don't know everything. And yet, he finds us worthy. That's what today's gospel says. It's really what the whole gospel says, but today, Jesus makes it very simple and very clear. We are love worthy. We are of God's stuff, and God is love. This is the love the mystics talk about, with words that can't begin to fully capture the deep ineffableness of the divine love experience that Jesus gives. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide. Live in it. Be. The divine love is the source of life and is the only way to live in Jesus. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, where the word love appears 57 times, more than the three other Gospels combined. A recurring theme of love in John's Gospel is that loving Jesus means keeping his commandments. Now, that sounds rather more dogmatic than a mystic thread. But if we go back to a mystic believes love is the source of life, well, Jesus is pretty explicit about that in today's passage. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abide, the source. As Jesus is even more explicit about what the commandment is, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Very clear. The Jesus movement is about love. The mystics, from Augustine to Francis to Hildegard to Merton, they tap into that love, the deep mystery of our oneness, of the divine whole that is pure love, the oneness that leads us to love one another as Jesus loves us. I know that some of you are mystics, and some of you have had profound experiences, and some of you are maybe more like me, and it's not a hierarchy. It takes all kinds of us, just the way God made us, and we're all finding our own experience of God's love. Not just how we experience it, but how we're made of it, and how we experience how all people are made of it. We hunger for this love because it is our genesis and because God's love is calling to us, just as Jesus calls to us, "Abide in my love." It's a beckoning. We are responding at the very core of our beings, like drawn to like. Some of those who tap deeply into it inside, who experience that oneness in powerful ways, we call them the mystics. But all of us who are followers of Jesus are on this path of abiding in his love. I find great wisdom in how the Sufi teacher and author Llewellyn Vaughan Lee describes it. Mystics may be drawn inward, but the oneness of the divine also embraces the outer world. Mystics are also involved in the demands of everyday life. One of Christianity's most loved mystics, St. Teresa of Avila, worked tirelessly founding convents and looking after her nuns, while at the same time, mystical prayer took her into ever-deepening states of inner absorption, oneness, and ecstasy. God, St. Teresa would say, also lives among the pots and pans. And so does love. The pots and the pans, and the oppressed and the sick, and the cross. Love lives in these places. Remember that Jesus lived in a culture that said he was going against God's law if he healed someone on the Sabbath. And we know Jesus didn't believe that because he lived and taught that God is love. And the depth of that love demanded more than the law. And now we live in a majority culture that says perhaps you're going against God's law if you support social assistance programs for your neighbor. We're not much different 2,000 years later, are we? I feel how sadly the answer to that is no, we're not in our world at this time and historically. A Western culture version of Christianity often does, like many in Jesus' day, make God tiny enough to be contained by human laws and prejudices, a God we can control, rather than living into the fullest being as part of the wild and expansive and unfathomable love that gives birth to us and in which Jesus invites us to abide. We hoard a tiny God when we make idols of our texts and our dogmas and our tribalism and our prejudices. We rob our own spirits of the joy that is inherent in our shared oneness with the divine. But if we sink into that deep, vast, divine love, we would know the joy that Jesus came to bring. We go around thinking that loving everyone is too hard. There are too many people we disagree with, too many people who don't look like us, too many people who might take what I want, too many people for me to have to care about. But Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He held nothing back. And he tells us, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy. Jesus is saying these things to his disciples, to us, during what is known as the farewell discourse in the Gospel of John. He is saying these things on the night that he is going to be arrested and taken to his death. But he calls this ultimate act of love joy and tells us that joy is what our abiding in him by loving each other will bring. Are you a follower of Jesus? His gospel is the story of God loving so much that God's self chooses to abide with us in the flesh, in Jesus, in this world. We are one. We are God's stuff. When we love one another the way Jesus loves, that is when our joy will be complete. The mystic Meister Eckhart mourned, "How long will grown men and women in this world keep drawing in their coloring books an image of God that makes them sad?" Would that we would rather join creation in oneness with the divine, like today's psalm. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills ring out with joy before the Lord. That's what abiding in Jesus' love brings out. It doesn't deny that there's pain in this life. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, in the very book of Joy, says, "Discovering more joy does not, I'm sorry to say, save us from the inevitability of hardships and heartbreaks. perhaps we are just more alive. We have hardship without becoming hard. We have heartbreak without being broken. Mystic or no, I don't know everything. But I do believe love is the source of life. There's more than one way to experience the divine, as many ways as there are people. But there's one source, and our invitation to joy is from Jesus. Abide in me. Love one another that way. You are God's stuff.